Welcome to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.
Welcome back. We are on part three of an incredible interview with musician and missionary, Karen Lafferty. She wrote the song Seek Ye First. I know many of us have sung it and are familiar with it. You'll definitely want to go back and hear the previous two episodes. But where we left off in our last episode was talking, Karen, about your life as a single missionary and all the places where the Lord has led you. You were doing tours in Europe and in Amsterdam, getting together bands and other missionaries. So what is it that brought you back and what was that experience like for you?
What moved you first there? I mean, because you actually joined the base in Amsterdam, right?
Yeah.
The YWAM base?
Well, yeah. It was actually my contact in Orange, California with Floyd McClung. And then on my next tour over, I had met him and then I was about to tour Europe again. And so I spent time at their YWAM base. It wasn't in Amsterdam yet. I helped them pioneer Amsterdam. It was in a beautiful farm country in Holland called the Veluwe, and it was called Heidebeek. And I always thought that we would be able to really base our music ministry there at that beautiful little farm. But no, Floyd was my leader, and he felt like God was leading him to go in and pioneer Amsterdam. That was, big city, so it was a lot different. But so I lived in Amsterdam almost 15 years and learned Dutch and got Dutch citizenship and the whole deal. So, but that's how I ended up there, is because I met Floyd in Orange in California, and he's from California too. And so that's how I ended up there.
Now, you were saying in the last episode, there were some reasons for your singleness and how God kind of led you to singleness. So can you elaborate on that just a little bit?
Yeah, at first it was because of hurt. And one thing, I mean, I shared about, in the first episode about I had a wonderful childhood and all that. But one of the things that was not so wonderful about it was my father being an alcoholic. My brother, who was 12 years older than me, he was the oldest. I was the youngest in our family. And we had, there was four kids. And my brother also had a drinking problem. Mm. And he would go to college. When he would come back from college, when he wasn't drinking, he was the most wonderful guy. But when my brother would come home from college, he would drink and he would abuse me. Mm. More than once, I kind of woke up with his hands all over me. And just that kind of, he never totally raped me, but he was, because I would scream bloody murder too fast. And it really put a fear in my life for men, I think, when that happened to me at about 8 or 9.
Oh.
And then I had a couple of bad experiences with dating, I was attracted to men. And all of that. And yet, you still want love in your life and everything. And so there was a time that I got into same-sex relationships, and I would do that for a while, and then I would get really convicted about it and just know in my spirit that it wasn't right and that I'd get out of it. And but I really needed some healing in that. I needed, and so I went through counseling. I went through several different things. Chuck actually counseled me about that before. And then Floyd McClung ended up counseling with me about that. And I'll tell you what, it was a process. And that's really the reason I wrote my book, is I felt like, today, I was more willing and interested in getting married probably in my 60s, you know, than I was earlier in life, because the process took a while. But one thing, and this is kind of, it sounds kind of silly, but I had to determine God is smarter than me. I mean, that sounds, of course he is. But, you know, I was living my life like I knew better than God did. And that's not true. You know, God's word is true. And so we need to understand that as we obey and as we follow God, if we love him and we want to be part of his kingdom, we need to do that. And it's hard sometimes, depending on somebody else might have a totally different besetting sin. You know, it might be alcoholism. It could be anger. Mm-hmm. It could be all kinds of things. It could be, you know, like me, it could be attraction to the wrong people, you know, and, but there was reasons for it. And, yet, you know, I just know, and that's why it was God's healing love. It was God using his people in counseling, but it was personal times with God that really healed me. That I just thought, I think I need to tell my story, because there's people out there going through this. They're all around. There's more than we really know about. And so if anybody wants to, and I've talked to many people now about this subject, and I'm always willing to talk to anybody that feels like they have tendencies towards that. But I say, if you believe in the Lord, he will walk through this with you. It might take a while, but he'll do it. And so anyway, that was, you know, the wonderful healing process that I went through.
And as you mentioned, you went through it obviously later, because it wasn't until your 60s that you felt like, okay, I think I'm healed, you know? So I think that too, to realize that it is a process, and sometimes it, you know, takes longer than mm-hmm. most people, and to be patient, you know, for those of us, to be patient with each other's struggles and willing to walk with them through it. So I really appreciate that. I appreciated that in the book too, when you talked about the singleness too. So now I want to come back to where are you at now, and what brought you back to the States? I know a little bit about this, but just go ahead and share.
Yeah. You know, my mother got real sick, and, I mean, this happens to a lot of us as we get, you know, as we enter mid-age and I just really felt like it was time, for me to come back. Some things about, the leadership in Amsterdam had changed, and, it seemed like our ministry wasn't fitting there as well anymore. And so I thought, you know, it's really time. My mom needs her girls around. Mm. And there was three of us. And both of my sisters lived up here in Santa Fe instead of down south where we're from. And so I just came home, and I just felt like, well, I think my time, I just closed the chapter on Amsterdam. And although I love going back there and all of that. And like I said, right before I left, I did get a Dutch citizenship. And so I thought, who knows, there might be some places in the world I go that's better to be Dutch than American.
You never know. That's true.
Yeah. So anyway, I keep that so I just came back because of my mom, and I just lived here for a year. I was still getting a little bit of counseling, but mostly, like I said, for the most part, I was healed. And, you know, I just want to go back to that for 1 minute, because there was a guy here locally that I was working with that I really started having attraction to. And I always wondered if something was going to come of that. It didn't, but we're still good friends and all of that. But even that was a little bit part of God saying, yeah, you're healed.
I love that.
You know, because when I started having that kind of attraction. But anyway, but I came back because just to take care of my mom, and I spent a year doing that. Then she went to be with the Lord. And I started praying and said, well, God, I'm a missionary. Where in the world would you want me? Because I still feel like I can do what I do anywhere. And I was very comfortable living in other cultures at that point. And but the Lord spoke to me so clearly. Santa Fe is a mission field. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very liberal here. It's about like some parts of California. In fact, we have as many same percentage of homosexuals in Santa Fe as San Francisco does.
Wow.
So I just felt like Santa Fe was a place, and there was no Youth of the Mission in New Mexico. And I felt like YWAM was still my tribe. And so and by that time, we had started a university. University of the Nations, and we had our first music school in Amsterdam with the University of the Nations. It was called School of Music and Missions, and we taught everything I learned from Maranatha Music, you know, about music publishing, about touring, about songwriting, making recordings, you know, all of it, and then putting people out there, and people would come from other YWAM bases and take our school and then go back and do that. And a lot of our people were from India. And so I've ended up still ministering in India quite a bit.
Wow.
That is so fantastic. So is there a school of ministry now with YWAM in New Mexico?
I've done several. When I came back here, we have a beautiful conference center called Glorietta. In the wintertime, in the wintertime, I would do our schools. We did about five schools here. And so I started Youth of the Mission, and then YWAM Santa Fe, and we did several schools here. And like I said, people would come from other bases. So then we started doing schools in Australia, in India. We did several in India. I just went back in February to teach in another school, School of Music and Visions, as well as the School of Worship. And so it's a little bit metamorphosizing, you know, into a school of worship and music, which is fine, you know, but we will teach evangelism in that school too. But anyway, yeah, it's really, and what I did is since those people went back to their bases, I started what we call the MFM, Musicians for Missions Network. And that's what I do now. I'm kind of the mama to these guys, you know. I'm just coaching them. There's a young guy named Vinny Prasad who has gone way beyond. In fact, he has been the first person to go to every country in the world in the shortest amount of time.
Wow.
And he gave concerts and ministered in most of those places. And so I am so blessed that some of my disciples that have gone on and gone way beyond what I've ever done, you know. And so Benny is, he's got a wonderful center where they do an apologetics discipleship training school. And anyway, so I still have a lot of contact with these musicians that I've kind of launched over the years. And that's what I feel like I'm called to do probably the rest of my life. I'm 78 now and still going pretty strong. I have a few problems. I have this chronic cough and things like that. But my hearing, I have really acute hearing loss. Mm. I'm grateful for very good hearing aids. But anyway, I keep track with all these guys, raise support for them sometimes, and just try to support them every way we can. And we do still have a few things. In fact, our vision for Santa Fe was to have a Christian Worldview Music and Arts Center. And we did that for a couple of years. I pulled back a little bit on it now, called the Mosaic Music and Arts Cafe. And we just found a facility to do it in. And so anyway, I'm still very active in those things. But, you know, I have always been very local church oriented. So I'm very active in my local church. When I moved back to New Mexico, even on the plane ride home, I was praying. I said, what's it going to be like being back in New Mexico? And I thought, okay, I have a lot of Hispanic friends. I have a lot of Caucasian friends. Wait a minute, there's a lot of Native Americans, and I don't have any Native American friends. So the Lord said, that's going to be part of your ministry. Start pursuing that. So I've been here almost 25 years now. And I have a lot of Native friends now. So that's a big part of our ministry. We really go out. There's a lot of need. I could talk three more hours on the need in Native Americans. But there's also, I've taken them on mission trips with me. They have wonderful giftings, just like everybody does. And they make good friends. And so I'm very active, though, in the Native American ministry in New Mexico.
You know, that's excellent. And I love the fact that, you know, at 78, you don't seem to be slowing down at all as far as service to Jesus. It's changed. It's modified. But
yes,
it's still...
I'll tell you, I spent a month in India and I came back with pneumonia.
No.
And was in the hospital for 4 days. So, you know, I have to watch it a little bit more. But I don't want to stop. I want to die with my boots on, you know?
That might be another song.
That might be. Well, I tell you, the last song I just wrote, because I'm still songwriting, is I would tell people and say, you know, I hope I see you one more time on this side of heaven. So I wrote a song called that, This Side of Heaven.
That is fantastic.
Oh, and I'll say that to you, Cheryl. You know, I hope I see you one more time on this side of heaven.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, because I think it was a couple years ago I saw you and got the book and love the book. Now, let's talk a little bit. Mary Pero is also a writer. I'm also an author. So tell me a little bit about the process of writing the book. Again, you said you felt all compelled to write. And I love the fact that your book is filled with so many stories. Stories always capture me, not just facts, but the stories. So tell me a little bit about, you know, when you felt led.
There was a couple of things. Mm-hmm. Actually, and back in when I lived in Europe, Word Music, a Word Publishing there in England, had asked me to write a book. Because they heard the Seeky First story and they wanted me, and I tried and I just failed. I just couldn't get it together. But what happened is after all this healing, I was praying about, well, I got to share this somehow. I wonder, you know, what? And at that time, just some good friends of mine, Larry and Becky Hefty in with YWAM Montana, Larry had died of cancer. And Becky had just finished a creative writing school and her degree. And she said in my living room, she said, you know, Larry and I were married since teenagers. I feel like I got to reinvent myself. I need a project or something, you know. And I prayed about it for a while. And then I called her up and I said, Becky, could I be your project? Would you help me write this book? And she did. So that's why it says Karen Lafferty and Becky Hefty. Because you know what? I edited quite a bit, but I did not write it. I spoke it. Mm-hmm. She interviewed me. I told her my story. She knows me better than anybody now because my book was way, way long. I had so many stories and we edited it down a lot shorter. I feel like I should put a thing on my own website called The Rest of the Story and tell a lot of the stories that didn't make the book.
I think that would be fantastic.
They're worth telling.
Yeah, I think that would be fantastic because I think that we as people learn by stories. I had a, as you know, my mom did the Joyful Life Bible study for years. And I had one woman come to me and said, I learned more from your mom's stories than I did from any of the principles she taught. And I thought, you know, Jesus told parables. And we love the Bible because it's filled with stories. This is all just a plug to say, put that on your website.
I want to read those stories.
Yeah.
Well, it's one reason I pulled back from Mosaic Music and Arts Cafe because I was so busy with that. And actually, it was my board. Again, some people who really care about me and kind of guide me. And they said, Karen, we feel like you're spending too much time on this vision and that you still have some music, you have your book, and you have other things. We feel like you need to focus on that a bit more. So I appreciate having people like that in my life. It was my board with Youth of the Mission that encouraged me to do that.
Kind of channeled
so,
all this.
That's what I am doing. I'm trying to kind of get it all together and be able to be on social media and things like that a little bit more. Because I think that's something I could, as an old person, probably still do.
And, you know, no doubt as people read the book and, you know, see and understand what your struggle was and say, I'm in the church and I'm having that struggle. And they would be able to reach out to you, too. And you can even minister to them because, you know, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that God allows us to go through things and then he comforts us so we can comfort others with that comfort that we've received. And so I love the fact that because of that healing, you felt this responsibility to heal others and to share that healing with others.
Yeah. And, you know, I even now have a pretty large house. It's a long story how I got this house. I bought it for my sister, but we added to it and I have everything from an Airbnb I just built a little prayer shed.
I love it.
In my backyard. And it's just a 10 by 12 room and it's kind of decorated up and it's my quiet place to be because I have a lot of people that live with me. That's another story. but a lot of kids are around and everything, but it's hard to get alone. And so I built that little place back there just to be able to, if I want to pray with somebody, we can go back there and I have my little prayer shed.
I love it. Karen, I want to thank you so much. Yes. I absolutely love this interview. This is going to go down as one of my favorites, mainly because I probably know you, love the book. We'll be recommending it on the website and just love all your stories. And just the fact that you are so passionate and enthusiastic for Jesus still. So thank you again for sharing your story and all that God, well, lots that God has done. There's more, has done and led you in your life. So thank you again so much, Karen.
Well, you're welcome. And thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Oh, love it.
Thank you for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not-so-well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.
Karen. Erin, thank you so much. We'll post this, and then I think this will play. Is it August?
Yeah, I'll text her.